Welcome to the Conversate Podcast with Sean Mathenia. Now let's have some fun and conversate. Take it away, Sean.
Don't mind if I do, Mr. Harris. Do not mind if I do. Did you guys enjoy part one of this interview? I thoroughly did. He is one of my favorite guys around. So I know you guys came back to listen to part two. This is a very cool, cool dude, and I love chatting with him. So without further ado, here's some more of the conversation with me and Joe. Or Joe and I. Me. Yeah, it's me, I think. Anyway, here's Joe.
We just played his video. It took us like two Saturdays to play all the stops and stuff like that. But the reason I was doing it was I was like, well, what kind of stuff do we have here? And then you talked about it the other night. Wonderful town. I'm looking forward to going to it. The town that is known, the name of the town is Uranus. Looking forward to going to that town.
You got to visit the fudge factory.
Yes, it's got a fudge factory. We were sitting there watching that, and I started laughing so hard. My little girl was like, "Why are you laughing?" And then finally I had to tell her, okay. And then I told her what Uranus meant, because she was like, "That's a planet." I was like, "Yes, that is a planet." And then, So when I told her what it meant, the other definition of it, she just started giggling and laughing. So she thought it was hilarious. And we definitely have to make a stop at Uranus. And
yes, you do. Uh-huh. And, you know, you can read all about it in the Uranus Examiner.
Somebody needs to write a song about that. Somebody needs to write a song.
Well,
about
I'm working on it.
You are, and it's a great first verse is amazing. So, so you've seen, because when were you born? What year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
I was born in 1947, the same year the aliens crashed in Roswell.
There you go. I've been to Roswell too. We did that cross country trip before. We had our daughter, and I told my wife, because we were doing Grand Canyon and stuff like that, what she wanted to do, and she wanted to go to she wanted to go to the Four Points, you know, where the four states meet, that she wanted to go there, which I did not realize that was in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And so she wanted to go to that. Well, that was on our way back, so we went from Grand Canyon to there. And then I've always wanted to go to Roswell. So we were like, it's New Mexico, so we'll just go down to Roswell, and that'll be our final really main stop. And holy cow, that was one boring drive from Four Points all the way down the state of New Mexico to Roswell. And
It was so boring. You wonder why the aliens even bothered with it.
I know. That's what I was wondering. And all right, so you are the official band of Route 66. So do you guys like do any festivals and stuff like that as far as on Route 66?
We played just about everywhere on Route 66. In 2011, we were surprised when we played in Amarillo, Texas for the annual Route 66 festival that was held there that year. And we were presented with the first time ever Bobby Troup Artistic Achievement Award. And Bobby Troup, of course, wrote Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Mm-hmm. So they had to okay the award with his estate. And they got approval for it. And we were the first time winners of that award in 2011. That's when we were declared the official musical ambassadors to Route 66.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully next year or the year after, whenever we do it, hopefully that you guys will be doing a concert somewhere along our route where we can we can stop off, and I can say I know that guy. And
actually, we'll be playing in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in July of 2021.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to write that down and make sure if we're gonna do it,
we need to schedule it.
I'm gonna put that on my schedule. But okay, so it's kind of funny because when you were talking, because like I said, I didn't know how old you were or anything. So as we were talking that one day, whenever we were at the getting ready to do that show with Jeff, you said something about being in Vietnam. And that's when I looked at you and went, how old are you? Because I was like, this, what? There's no way this guy was in Vietnam. And I find it hilarious because my dad is, my dad turns, my dad turns 70 this year. So I always thought my dad looked young, but you actually look younger than my dad. So, leading a good life and not being a moron will actually help with how you age. So,
you know, I owe that to God, you know, God and country and my wife. I've got the best wife in the world.
How long have you guys been married, Joe?
We've been married 34 years.
Okay.
And we've both been previously married before. And but when I found her, that's what I realized what love really was, what it was all about.
That's awesome. So,
know, she and I were both baptized as kids, but when we discovered each other, it was just a few years after that we decided we wanted to make that that commitment once again publicly and be baptized together. And so it's a big difference making that decision as a child and making that decision as an adult.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, and it's the Bible said a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, and a man that finds a good wife finds an amazing thing. So that part's right. not in the Bible, but it should be. I'm not going to tell God what He should have put in there, but I'm just saying that should be in there. So you worked on some amazing albums, and worked with some amazing artists and stuff like that. You touched on it a minute ago, but I was fascinated when you and I were talking that one day and I found out that, you had worked on, The Thunder Rolls with Garth Brooks, which is probably one of my favorite albums. And that song is cool. One of my favorite songs. He's got a song on there. He's got a song. I think it's on that album, but I'm not sure. He's got a song. My daughter loves it. Now I can't think of the name of it. Lonesome Dove. And it's a story song, and my daughter, and so it paints a story of the Old West and stuff like that. My daughter, I played it for her a couple months back, and she was like, "Oh, that song's amazing!" And so anytime we get in the car, she wants to hear it and stuff like that. So yeah. I've never played Thunder Rolls for her yet, just because that's too much of a. That's too much adult stuff for in that one. But so on the Thunder Rolls, what exactly did you do on that album or on that song and stuff like that? So what exactly?
Well, I am the thunder.
You're the thunder. You brought the thunder because you are the thunder.
I did. Yeah, I actually recorded that thunder off my back porch where I currently live in South Nashville. But I combined it with a sound effect library that I was using. In between the two pieces of thunder, I was able to kind of tune the thunder to the key of D, which the song was written in.
Okay.
And so when I gave that to it was Alan Reynolds was the producer, and Mark. I'm trying to think of Mark's last name. Mark was the one that contacted me and asked me to work on the project. But when I presented that to them, they both just kind of went, oh, so they incorporated it right away into the recording. And he's still using those sound effects today for his live performances.
That's awesome. So when you did it, did they say, hey, we want some thunder for this song? Or was this something that you just thought up or what, or how did it happen?
No, exactly. It's something that, they said, yeah, we want, this is the song. This is what it's about. This is what we're looking for. And so I just took it back to them. And when I gave it to them, they didn't ask for any changes. They said, this is it.
This is it. And he's been using it ever since. And all the concerts. And that by far, I went and saw him twice in concert back when he was like back in the prime. I was probably maybe, I graduated high school in 92. So Thunder Rolls came out some before that. And then so I went and saw him, I think around 90, maybe 95 or something like that, and 96.
Okay.
And first time I saw him, I actually got to sit on the front row because the girlfriend I had at the time was gorgeous, and she ended up, one of the band members gave her tickets to the front row, and she didn't tell him that she had a boyfriend with her, so he thought it was, so I was literally the only guy on the whole front row, so I had women, because only the front row could come up to the stage, so I had women behind me cussing me out, which I thought was hilarious because they couldn't come up to the stage. And then the best was when Garth walks by, you know, and all the women are grabbing his legs and grabbing and touching his boot and everything else. And he comes by he's got his hand and he's reaching out, touching the girl's hands and stuff like that. And he gets to me and he just stops and he looks at me. And I got my hands I got my hands up like I'm surrendering, and I'm like, I'm not touching you, dude. And he reached out and shook my hand and just laughed. And that was one of my I love that. That was one of the greatest concerts I've ever been into. That too. That guy was unbelievably amazing.
You know, when they asked me to do the effects, I didn't know that much about Garth.
Nobody did at the time, really.
Yeah, I knew his manager, Bob Doyle. Bob used to work for ASCAP, and he got me switched over from BMI to ASCAP, and Bob became a good pal of mine. And so he was managing Garth, but I hadn't thought anything about him becoming a big star. I didn't even ask for credits on the album. But when they came back to me a few years later and asked me to work on his live CD album, I said, sure, but I'm going to have credits. And they said, no problem. I wish I would have asked the first time, but I am mentioned in his Wikipedia, so that's good.
That's awesome. That live CD was amazing too, and so so you worked on that one.
Yeah, I did special effects on two Pina Coladas and another song that escapes me right now.
Okay, that's cool. Well, that is amazing, dude. I love talking to people, and one of the things I love about talking to people is just finding out different stories and stuff like that. So the fact that I found out something new about you, about the whole Route 66 thing, that's a great thing. I've wanted to do that trip for so long, and it's almost here. And, go ahead.
My buddy, Woody, and I served in Vietnam together. He and I traveled all of Route 66, the entire thing from Chicago to LA, in two different years. Mm-hmm. 1 year we flew out to California to my mom's retirement home and played a concert for her, just Woody and myself. And then we rented a vehicle and drove to Oklahoma City on Route 66 and took our time. And then the following year, we flew up to Chicago with our wives and spent the weekend. And then they flew back home. We rented another vehicle and we drove from Chicago to Oklahoma City on Route 66 from that direction. So we covered the entire thing within 2 years, but we wanted to take our time on each half of the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Like we were watching the video of the guy with his dad, and Wendy was like, as we were watching it, because they stopped and looked at so many old gas stations. And Wendy was like,
oh, yeah,
we don't have to stop at every gas station. I said, oh, no, we're not. I was like, nope, we're good. But I want to stay in the TP hotel. That's the one thing I want to stay at.
Yeah.
I want to stay at one of the TP hotels. Actually, both of them. Stay at both of them.
It's actually called the Wigwam.
Yeah, the Wigwam. That's what it was.
One's in Holbrook, Texas, and the other one is in San Bernardino, California, or Rialto, California.
Do you know there's one north of north of Nashville on the way to Kentucky?
I
had no idea that.
Yeah, and that's one of the original wigwams. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so because we go up to Louisville
just
all the time.
To be on Route 66.
Yeah, but we go to my parents all the time, and they live in Louisville. And I don't know. Oh, I was looking at reviews on one of the Wigwam hotels there on Route 66, and somebody said something about staying at the one in Kentucky, and I was like, "Where's that at?" So I Googled it, and we were just there. We had like stopped at the gas station, like right next to the place, and I had no idea it was there. So I told my wife, "I said we're gonna have to instead of going straight through one day, we're gonna have to stop and just spend the night." I said, I don't care what the reviews say about it because I know it's going to be an old hotel and I know it's probably not going to be the nicest thing in the world, but I said, you know, we've got to stay on it just to say we stayed in it. And so that's what we're going to do. But
very good.
So what do you got going on right now? What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a lot of coaching with people all over the world, just helping people become voice actors and follow their dreams. I do a lot of corporate narration for Boeing Aviation, Chevrolet, Coca-Cola, and most of my jobs come out of Sao Paulo, Brazil. I speak a minimal amount of Portuguese,
okay,
but they like for their people to deal with the rest of the world in English, so the scripts are in English, but there might be the names of the people, the tools of the trader, the name of the companies. It's all in Portuguese, and there's no translation for it, so when they pop up in the script, I can generally pretty much pronounce them correctly. So I've kind of created a niche for myself in that area.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, that's cool. You got any, well, I mean, I'm sure concerts and stuff have kind of dried up right now because of COVID.
Well, they are. The only next one that's really, semi-solidified would be Santa Fe, New Mexico in July.
Okay.
You know, I've been playing music all my life. So back in high school in Los Angeles, I had a little trio, and we used to open for the Smothers Brothers at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Okay.
And I played with Karen and Richard Carpenter in the Hollywood Bowl in 1966, back when we were all just in high school. And then they later became, of course, the Carpenters. Well, they were the Carpenters. I guess they just didn't know it yet. And then went off to Vietnam. When I got back, I wound up in a band called Solid Gold, and we traveled across the country. We opened for Waylon Willie at the Golden Nugget and played on the rising stage at Disneyland. And it was just a time of joy and excitement and just playing all throughout the United States and Canada. And then I had a recording studio in Denver where I was audio engineer for Firefall, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and Air Supply.
Okay.
And that was a great experience for me as an audio engineer, because then I got into advertising. After working for Loretta for a few years, I was in advertising for about 10 years and producing radio and TV soundtracks for automotive syndicated advertising company.
Okay.
So it's been a great journey. I've done lots of on-camera advertising. During the 90s, I was a spokesperson for Philips Magnavox.
Okay.
And now here I am, a full-time voice actor and coach.
What's your, let me ask you one more question. What is, looking back on your career, and you might not be able to just give me one, but looking back on your career, what is the one thing that you've done that gives you the most pride that you're like, oh, I did that? And so what's the one thing that you can look back and say, that right there is what I consider, it might not be what the world considers the most success that you've had, but what is the most successful moment that you look back and you go, that's my most proudest moment? What would you say that is career wise? I should have asked you this long. I should have asked you this before, so you could think about it.
I was about to say meeting my wife on an airplane, but you said career-wise.
Yeah, career-wise.
And that kind of takes me in another. I was about to give God and my wife and my son all the credit. Let's see. I would say How about highlights? Highlights, I would say, was, you know, the Hollywood Bowl. Was studying acting at the Pasadena Playhouse. Agnes Moorhead was my acting coach, and she had played in Dora in the original Bewitched series.
Okay.
That was a thrill, a big thrill for me. Career-wise, you know, I worked really hard to market myself as a voiceover coach and a professional voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the marketing skills that I've learned over the past 10 years has put me into an area where I have so much fun with voiceover marketing and just learning things constantly on a day-to-day basis, which helps me to keep my mind active and helps me to stay young. But the one career thing, I guess I don't really have a solid answer for that. I'm just happy to be where I am. I'm happy to have God in my life and have my wife in my life and my son and his family, my grandkids. I'm just so at peace, and I just love life.
That's what it's all about. Joe, thank you so much for coming on here today.
Oh, you bet. Thank you for having me, Sean. It was a pleasure.
I've had so much fun. I've learned so much about you, and learned more about you than I thought I would. And so, I mean, I had a lot of respect for you beforehand, but now I'm just like awe and respect. And you are such a humble man, and I love whenever I see people that are godly people and they've had success, quote unquote success, and they're good at what they do and they give God the glory, and they know what it's all about. So meeting you has been a thrill. Talking to you has been a thrill, and I love you, man, and I love having you around.
So much. I love you too, brother, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at Jeff's house again.
Sounds good.
And for some more of Tammy's fine dessert.
Man, that was good dessert. But
oh man!
All right, brother, you got a website or anything that you have that you do everything from, or?
Yeah. My coaching website is joelesch.com. joelesch.com, and vomojo. .com is my voiceover. That's where I have all my samples for my voiceover work, examples from my work. And so that's what I use to pitch my voice to new clients.
There you go.
And then joelesch.com is for my coaching.
Okay. And what's the name of the band one more time?
The Road Crew. And you can go to our website and check us out at roadcrew66.com.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks for coming on here, man.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, hold on. One second. All right, we'll check out his website. What'd you guys think? Check out his website. If you want some voiceover work, give him a holler. If you want to learn, take some lessons, give him a holler. The man knows what he's doing, and how cool is the story about Garth Brooks and the Thunder Rolls. That is amazing. And I'm not kidding you when I say I thought he was in his late 50s or early 60s when I first met him. So still blows my mind that he is as old as he is. Age is just a number, I guess. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Tell your friends about it. Press like on the iTunes page. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks for being back for Conversate. See you soon.